Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here. Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fam, 1080 AM, live on YouTube.
1.2 million, we got that.
1.2 million is the number.
1.2 million to lose.
Million.
I'll put that up as a poll question. What was the worst loss to you, Sam Houston, winless or Sac State?
One listener going the opposite direction, Beaver P1,
you
saying
heartbreak loss.
He's going that these losses don't do anything for me. Losing the 08-09 Civil Wars will be worse than losing when you're terrible. Like, worse losses, he says those are way worse losses than these ones.
No, and I think we're framing it differently. Like, the emotional losses and close losses will always mean more than the bad losses.
For sure.
Like, losing
this is more embarrassing. I think if you're ranking an embarrassing loss.
It was,
I guess, maybe a little embarrassing to lose the 08 one the way that they did. Because that was, they have, you know, when did you go and you're
but
at
you're
home
still
and
playing
all that.
For a Rose Bowl.
But you're playing for
game,
a Rose
right?
Bowl. So, like, good season.
Like, losing at unranked, not good UW when you had Cody Vaz rolling to sub in Sean Mannion and you were top six in the country at that point. Like, that. It's a bad loss. That one sticks with you for a long time. Yeah, embarrassing loss is the way we're going here.
I didn't think we were going to talk about the Sam Houston State game at all this week because I figured Oregon State was going to do what they should do. They had won two games in a row and they're going to win the game. And we're not even going to talk about it because they're a 3-win team and they're kind of irrelevant at this point. The only thing relevant with them is their coaching search or if they fire their athletic director, which is not going to happen. And then you lose the game and that's when it leads to conversation about it.
Well, I mean, it doesn't sound great for me to say this, but I just want to be honest. I didn't watch a second of that game and I'm probably not going to watch a second of any Oregon State football game the rest of the year.
Swag notified me in the last commercial break. They are a 1-point favorite on the road at Tulsa.
Cool.
I would bet my house, my life savings on Tulsa winning that game.
You'd bet your life savings?
I think that
on
I
it?
Would. This, I mean, you just lost to Sam Houston State. You've been terrible on the road
just
all
Washington
year.
Washington State, though.
At home. They have been horrible on the road all year.
Hey, you might be right. I'm not going to argue with you about this stupid team. They suck.
I'm driving up to A&A, dude. I'm putting 10 grand. 100 grand. Give me Tulsa. Give me the, what are they, the Green Wave? No, that's not the Green Wave.
You want to...
The Golden Hurricanes.
Golden Hurricanes. That's what I was looking for.
You want to talk about bad timing.
Today, I'm laying the big wood.
They had 30 recruits at Research Stadium.
It gets worse.
I found out that I was told that the most depressing thing that some of those recruits had ever seen was the post-game locker room.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's not a very joyful place to be.
Because they were being teased. Hey, stick around. It's great atmosphere. It's good environment. Wait till the post-game. It's a lot of fun.
Because
they
great
thought
time.
They were going to win that game.
You're playing Sam Houston State. You're a 20-point favorite.
And then they got brought into the locker room, and I was told it was like... death. It sounded, yeah. You know, yeah. It was as loud as death.
Before we get to another painful loss, which we definitely do need to talk about, did you see, I didn't catch any of it, but I just saw the clip of it. Actually, I did see it because we were out at Grand Central, so they had it on the TV as we were wrapping up, or they were wrapping up their show. Patrick Mahomes was the celebrity guest picker on College Game Day this weekend.
Yeah, he was at the Tech game.
They're back at Texas Tech. The Chiefs had a bye, so you know, we get Mahomes shoved down our throat all weekend.
Sure.
Did you see who he said was his favorite college quarterback? And all I could picture was the reaction from another college quarterback.
Dylan Raiola.
It is not Dylan Raiola. But Dylan Raiola is the guy who I just envisioned when I heard him say it. I'm like, oh, that's a kick in the nuts to Raiola.
Tell me it was Raiola's backup.
It is not Raiola's backup. He said randomly out of nowhere, his favorite quarterback in college. Now, I don't think he's watching much college football, so don't put much stock into it. It's not about the guy he named. It's more about, wow, that hurts if you're Raiola. He said Dante Moore is his favorite college quarterback. He was picking the Oregon-Iowa game.
How about that?
Dante Moore is my favorite guy to watch. I think he's great. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember it specifically. But everybody saw that and then turned in different tweets and GIFs of what was Dylan Raiola thinking if he's watching College Game Day right
devastation.
Now.
Devastation.
Like, I'm your little bro, man. I'm number 15. I got the same haircut as you. I'm not your favorite.
I think this might be a good thing for Nebraska and Raiola. This
very
might
well
turn
could.
Him now.
He's not going to cut your skin off anymore.
Well, I would say now maybe he leans into who he always is. And maybe he turns on like a switch where he reaches his maximum potential.
Changes the numbers, shaves
his
head.
Just to go to the NFL and be motivated enough to not even want to dap up Mahomes when he takes him on.
Beats him and doesn't even shake his hand. You said Dante Moore was your favorite.
That was, for me on the weekend, that was my top tier uniform matchup, watching the ice white Texas Tech.
That was a good uni game.
And those BYU Cougar helmets.
The all blues.
I text Sukanik, you need that helmet. And he goes, man, our mascot, much like every mascot, took a tour in the Navy.
Yeah.
Because at some point, everybody has a mascot that has the little Navy hat.
Sure.
And that thing was sweet, dude.
It was
all
a
blues
fun atmosphere.
Against the ice whites. Bad game.
Sure, not great.
Not a good showing for BYU and a great performance by Tech. But man, that was a great uniform matchup.
I'll be curious to see what the committee does with them tomorrow. You guys had a rough loss this weekend, and we just talked about it. Paper bags over the heads. Nobody feeling good in Corvallis. You at least didn't lose a game to a team whose kicker was the leading passer. Because that happened this weekend. Let's just take a brief moment and soak it in. You ready for this? Yeah. Washington went on the road to Wisconsin this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Husky fans spent the last week talking about, do they want Oregon to win at Iowa to set up a playoff showdown in the final week of the season? Winner goes to the playoffs in Seattle post-Thanksgiving rivalry game.
Mm. Sure.
That was the conversation all week. We're playing Wisconsin. Too. Let's just, you know, I mean, we know how this game's going to go. Exactly. Then we get Purdue at home. We know how that game's going to go.
Who's the real UW?
And then we get UCLA. Like, if Washington's going to win out, and they're going to be a two-loss team, and if they beat Oregon, they got a chance to go to the college football playoff.
Yeah, I thought that was a mistake.
And
personally.
Then Sean West came out of nowhere and went 1-for-1 for 24 yards and led the Wisconsin Badgers in passing, and the Wisconsin Badgers won the game 13-10. I didn't watch a lot of this game in the start.
Huskies gift-wrapped this win to Wisconsin.
Oh, you want to know what their scoring drives were? Yeah. These are the three scoring drives that Wisconsin had to beat Washington. You ready for this?
I watched this game. Yeah, I saw it.
6 plays, 22 yards scoring drive.
Oh, yeah, okay.
8 plays, 18 yards scoring drive. Ooh. 2 plays, 7 yards, scoring drive. Those were the 3 scoring drives that they had, a touchdown and 2 field goals. Their quarterback stat line, Sean West, their kicker, was their leading passer on a fake punt, 1-for-1, 24 yards.
I think they played
the perfect pass.
Hunter
already.
Simmons, who got into the game, was 2-of-3 for 16 yards.
Yep.
Let's give the guy a little more respect. 2-of-3, that completion percentage is solid.
67%, baby.
Carter Smith ended up taking the majority of the snaps. He is a freshman who was running the scout team 2 weeks ago. He went 3-of-12 for 8 yards. If you're wondering, that is a 0.7 yard per pass average.
Yeah, that's not
O'Neal, who started the game, went 0-for-2 for 0 yards. They combined passing the ball, went 6-of-18 for 48 yards and 2.7 yards per throw, and they won the game 13-10.
How down is Wisconsin, you might be wondering? Well, I went to the Reddit page after winning this, and somebody posted, is this the turnaround? Is this it?
Is this
and
it?
Went, we're doing it?
You won 13-10.
They rushed the field after this game. Which I can't blame them.
They
it's been a long
had a lot
year.
To celebrate. Jump around was finally good.
Yeah.
Because they were winning.
The Huskies tried to do the Oregon thing of doing the jump around, the Pavlov dog, and then, you know.
Look, Coleman did leave the game. Boston momentarily left the game, but he came back.
This is
just the Huskies. They're not, they're like USC. On the road, don't trust them.
No.
Wisconsin. At UCLA, I'm assuming they're going to lose.
Wisconsin is 30.5 point underdogs at Indiana this weekend.
Oh, after at Indiana,
it's rightfully so.
I lay the points with Indiana.
Rightfully so.
I think Indiana's going to absolutely make a point. But I text my cousin because he's the UW grad and alum, and I'm like,
a lot of them are out on Fish after that. There was
they
a
have to be.
Stark turn on Jed Fish after this game.
If he gets an offer and he tries to go to the AD, he's like, are you going to match this?
No.
Whoever.
It's Pat Chun. It's your Cougar.
Yeah, AD.
Right. Pat Chun.
I had Jim Cohn in
the
my
Benedict
mind.
Arnold left Washington State to go be the Washington AD.
Turncoat.
Well, the other AD was Troy Dannon. He was there for 6 months and then let DeBoer walk, and then he left for Nebraska.
They better tell him, good luck to you, sir. Right. Move right on.
We'll pay your moving expenses.
Yeah, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to UCLA? Go for it.
Do you want me to hire a truck?
Does the winner of the UCLA-Washington game get Jed Fish? Is that what
pay your moving
the victor
expenses.
Goes to spoils?
Yeah. You owe me money if you're going to leave. You are robbing us right now. What they are on the road is so pathetic.
How is it not? Injuries are one thing. I get it. Teams are banged up this time of year. You got to overcome it. Like, that's the difference, right? But we talk about the start of the year between. USC loses on the road to Illinois earlier this year. Illinois is not a very good team. Why did they lose? They got some guys banged up in the secondary, and there's no depth because they haven't recruited that well. Like, it's the same thing with Washington. Like, until you can have guys who can step in and play competent football, you're one injury away. You're not an elite team if that's the case. But how have you been in this conference now for 2 years and shown no progress in the ability to go on the road and get better and not just be completely flat? Like, we talked about this after the Maryland game, and I remember asking the question, like, how do you feel if you're a Husky fan? And a lot of people just kind of laughed at the question of, like, well, you came back, it was a huge comeback, why wouldn't you feel great? But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you were down 20-0 to Maryland, and Maryland sucks. You didn't show up until late. That was a miracle that you won that game. Are you going to learn anything from this, or is this just a random outlier that you got hot in 12 minutes and they played stupid football and you won, and then you go on the road to play the worst team? Well, I don't know about worst team in the Big Ten.
No,
we'll do
they
it.
Were at the bottom of
they're
the
worst team in the Big Ten, and you lose the game, and they can't throw the football.
Yeah.
I just like they have shown zero progress in finding ways to get better on. Like, are you not changing when you travel? Are you not changing your prep process? Are you not, it's baffling how this plagued you last year. You had an entire offseason to think about it. It's been an issue for you all season this year, and there is zero sign of progress in being able to go on the road and win a football game.
You are not last, but you're just ahead of Michigan State, Penn State, and Purdue, who are still winless in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
I say Coleman got hurt. I think Jonah Coleman's a great player. Muhammad was running the ball pretty well. Damon continues to. I mean, that fourth down when he got stopped, and that was basically the game. He's just going to try to squeak by and pick up a first down. You got to throw the ball, dude. Like, you got to recognize that gap was not very wide.
Right.
Yeah, you're speedy. You're fast. You can be nimble in certain moments. You got to throw the football. Give your team a better chance than that. I don't know what it is. I just don't know. Even with the weather elements.
They don't clearly know what it is either because they haven't been able to figure it out.
And look, Oregon also was in a little bit of a dogfight with inclement weather against Wisconsin. They ended up winning the game, and really there was no doubt of it because even at 7-0, you're like, well, Wisconsin can't do anything offensively.
Yeah, it was 21-0 until an underthrown ball late.
That's the disappointing part was, one, you just gift-wrapping them the 13 points. Like, the 7-yard play that they had, that was a turnover.
Yes.
So, like, you being in that position in general, it's baffling, and I don't know where he's going to go, if he is going to choose to leave or stay. There's another report that came out over the weekend, by the way, that his wife is behind the scenes just screaming about how much she hates it there because it's raining.
Well, she didn't live there. That's why.
Well, I know, but when she goes, it's raining.
If I'm a Husky, I'm just get out of here. This is a headache. I don't want to deal with anymore. We're gonna have to. We're on Jed Fish watch every offseason now until you leave, because you're eventually going to leave, whether it's now or later. Like, just move on. I would want to punt from the situation.
I tend to agree with that, and I think a lot of Husky fans, like, I think they'll beat Purdue, and then they'll probably predictably go to UCLA, and they'll be in a dogfight, or they'll lose outright, and then they'll go home to Oregon and probably lose that game as well. And then you're gonna be sitting there going, 7-5.
Yeah,
and like, 7-5 is not the worst, but it's also like,
that's a disappointing year based on the conversations that were had about you going into the year. 7-5 would be disappointing.
That's one of the worst performances. We joked about Oregon State. That was one of the worst performances, I thought, in college football this week, and what Washington did at Wisconsin.
They still had a lot on the line, but now it is no longer on the line, and they only can play spoiler in the last week of the season. That's about all they got left on their schedule. Let's go to Landon Tangwall. He is great at covering the Big Ten. We talked to him after the Oregon-Penn State win. His thoughts on that, on the Indiana win over Penn State, which we haven't even got to that, the miracle play at the end. What a comeback for Indiana. And his thoughts on Oregon and Iowa. Landon Tangwall is going to join us. Coming up next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on The Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry Hops Infused Hard Seltzers.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Monday, brought to you as always by our good friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their five coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, Lincoln City, and now Rockaway. Beach is open. Five locations, our good friends at Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Let's talk some Big Ten football with somebody who knows a lot about Big Ten football. We loved having him on after the Oregon-Penn State game. A lot going on in the conference this weekend, and joining us again on the show, Landon Tangwall. You can check out his show, The Landon Tangwall Show, live on YouTube. He's a former offensive lineman at Penn State and a national college football analyst. And give him a follow on Twitter, at Landon Tangwall.
Heartbreak City this week for Penn State, man.
Oh, buddy, yeah. We'll get to your Nittany Lions. That one was brutal. I know you're a Steeler fan, too. I saw your tweets last night of like, God, that's a tough double whammy. Let's start with the Oregon-Iowa game. I'm curious from your perspective. Like, you're a Penn State guy. You're an East Coast Big Ten guy. And I continue to see this narrative of like, hey, Oregon shows that they can hang at the line of scrimmage with the big boys. And I'm like, what year is it? 2009 in people's minds? Like, why is that still a narrative out there? I'm just, your thoughts on Oregon and what they did on the road at Iowa this weekend.
Yeah, they went out to Iowa and played Iowa's game better than them. You know, the Oregon rushing for, you know, 7.3 yards per carry. Iowa went for 2.3 yards per carry. On both sides of the ball, Oregon dominated up front. And I think that was cool to see. And it was. It was like the national media reaction. But even whoever was calling the game, I forget, it was like, oh, wow. Like, I can't believe Oregon's doing this. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, first off, has anybody watched anything this year? I mean, Oregon won up front, and I know we were going to talk about Penn State in a little bit, but they still have quality guys up front on both sides. Oregon won there. Indiana got them a little bit up front on both sides in their game. But I'm with you guys and all the Oregon fan base. I maybe because I've just watched so much tape of Oregon, I know how good they are up front on both sides of the ball. But I was shocked. I was shocked kind of the overall reaction. I want to give a shout-out to a couple people. Bear Alexander, dude. at defensive tackle is playing some high-level football right now. I mean, this Iowa offensive line, they are up there for the Joe Moore Award. They are one of the best, especially in run blocking. And Bear Alexander, Washington, and company, they really handled them up front. So I think they deserve a lot of props there. And then just the Oregon offensive line, the way that they were blocking. Shout out to Jamari Johnson doing a lot of the dirty work that Kenyon Sadiq normally does. I mean, he was blocking really, really well out there. I think Pregnon at left guard is playing, especially in the run game, but overall playing at a very high level. Some of the best guard play I've seen across the country. And then also Poncho at center is just demolishing guys. So it was a gritty win. It was cool to see Oregon win in that fashion. I think that's their second one. And now Oregon has to live in a world where, oh, you still don't have any ranked wins, but you go to two different people's places, almost, you know, Penn State's across the country. I wouldn't say Iowa's all the way across the country, but you go cross country two different times and get gritty wins, and you're still not going to get respected. I think it's crazy. I mean, we could talk about it, but it's wild that Indiana's getting all this credit for, you know, what a gritty win at Penn State, and, you know, look at them, they can overcome stuff. But you know, Oregon is still, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. You beat Penn State when they were number two and it was the whiteout and everything was against you. So I'm not just saying this because I'm on the Oregon show. I really feel this. I feel like Oregon and the national media, I don't know, they're not getting the narratives right now.
Well, I'm kind of curious. I know Indiana played them really well and beat them and kind of came into Autzen Stadium and took a game. A lot of people out here thought that Oregon would kind of pull away from. And we know Ohio State is also unbeaten. I'm curious how Oregon's running attack makes you weigh how to place Oregon in this college football playoff, you know, top tiers kind of conversation. When you watch Oregon run for 200 yards on Iowa, which I think is the most since 2022 against an Iowa defense, when you watch them have that kind of ability, how do you place Oregon in the conversation of major college football teams right now?
Yeah, I think if Oregon can run the football effectively, I think they're just as good as any other team. That's how I see it. I mean, watching Noah Whittington get out there, and he had some really nice runs. Deer Hill is still looking like a really talented young guy. And every single running back averaged over 6 yards per carry. And like you said, when you do that against the Iowa front seven, that prides themselves on, you might beat us deep. You might be able to pass the ball on us, but you're not going to run the ball. And that's why I say it was such an impressive win. It was such a statement win for Oregon because they went in. It was horrific conditions. Back-to-back weeks now, Dante Moore has had to deal with just downpours and just awful weather. And so it wasn't super easy to pass the football. And they said, all right, we have the ability to say we're going to rely on this offensive line. By the way, minus Alex Harkey at right tackle. So you lose what might be one of your better run blockers in there too. And you still just physically impose your will on that Iowa defense that really no one has run on very well. Even Indiana struggled against that Iowa front seven. So I thought it was a statement for this offensive line that, you know, had some good games and then had some, you know, you mentioned the kind of a blunder against Indiana. But if they can continue to run the ball like this, if you continue to have a stable of running backs where you can just, you know, interchange them in and out and all of them are explosive and they're popping for big runs and they're going for 6 yards per carry, well, I think you can hang with anybody in college football.
Yeah, I'm glad you shouted out Jamari Johnson. We forgot to mention him earlier, filling in for Sadiq, who's been such a good run blocker. He was great in the run game and then made some big plays. Not that there were many of them in the pass game because of the conditions, but he was outstanding for Oregon on Saturday. Landon Tangwall is our guest. Check out his college football show. Subscribe to the YouTube page at Landon Tangwall. CFB, it's, you know, film studies and takes on everything in the Big Ten and college football. It's a must follow for college football fans. Follow him on Twitter as well. But let's get to the other game. I'm glad you mentioned Indiana. Like, I think Oregon does deserve more credit for their wins over Penn State and Iowa, and people are having a hard time grading those and understanding how should we process this. Where in the SEC, I see like Georgia struggle with Florida, and I'm not killing Georgia for it. Like, that's a rivalry game. Florida still has a lot of composite talent, and they can put it together on any given weekend. That you got to bring it, and if you don't, you're going to find a way to lose. That was kind of the way I felt about Indiana this weekend. They weren't at their best, but Penn State's got nothing to lose. They're playing at home. Indiana's trying to run the table and go perfect. Just, I know it was heartbreaking in the outcome because of your alma mater losing another tough game, but just what that showed you about Indiana and their grit and resilience and finding a way to win that game.
Yeah, that was, Cignetti said it was one of the most improbable victories he's ever been a part of, and they got it done. You know, they get the ball back down four, and Mendoza has what a lot of people are calling his Heisman moment. And it was, yeah, I knew it was coming when they got the ball back. And I said, all right, here they go. They're going. We even sacked Mendoza on first down. It was like second and 18 on their own, you know, like 12-yard line. and just throws a strike, and then it was first down, first down, first down, just worked their way down the field. I just want to put this out there. This goes for everybody. I don't understand the idea of defensive coordinators that you do something all game. Mendoza, besides that last drive, looked pretty pedestrian, mm-hmm. threw a really bad interception, really was not doing what Mendoza normally does because we blitzed him to hell. We had 29 pressures on him on 30 dropbacks. I mean, it was they were getting after him. And then all of a sudden, you say, all right, and I get it. You don't want to be too aggressive and get beat on one play, but you stop doing what's working. You go prevent cover three, and you give these 10 to 15 easy, yard completions just underneath that entire last drive. I've never understood why defensive coordinators in those moments just go full-on soft prevent. How about we stick with what's working? And then what I think was probably one of the best catches of the college football season to finish that thing off, that touchdown at the end there by Omar Cooper. I mean, that was spectacular. Yeah. It was cool to watch, but as a Penn State Letterman, that was heartbreaking. I wanted it for the team. I wanted it for our interim head coach, Terry Smith. But once again, you see good teams just make more plays, and that's what Indiana did. They got this guy, Charlie Becker, number 80. So they have Surratt, who had a pretty good game against Oregon. Surratt did not play in this game. Mm-hmm. He had a hamstring. And so this guy, Charlie Becker, comes into the game, career stats, 7 receptions for like 150 yards in his entire career. He comes in, 7 receptions for 118 yards against Penn State. I mean, I'll tell you what, you can't make this type of stuff up. And I was incredibly frustrated with Penn State. You get the ball back and you're up 4 and they had to punt it away. You got 3 minutes left. You just got to get 2 first downs. You get the first down, and then they just run it up the middle twice and throw a little pass into the flat. And they didn't go for the jugular. And yeah. I maybe understand that. If you're in an undefeated game or something like that against Indiana, maybe I understand that. But it's like, you got nothing to lose. You're not even going to go to a bowl game. Let's pass the ball and try to get the first down. I mean, we're just going to run the clock out and give the ball back to arguably the best quarterback in all of America and let him just kind of dice you up. So frustrating as the entire Penn State season has been. And, yes, you mentioned I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan as well. And that continues to give me lots of grief.
Yeah, I would tell you, Landon, that I think that might be my biggest pet peeve in all of football, whether it's a good ranked matchup or just a bad team against a great team. I don't know if I hate anything more than the most obvious. We're going to run it 3 times to make you use all your timeouts and then give you the ball back with a chance to win or tie the game. Like, just can we go for the win here and say
one completion and the game is over?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a 3rd and 6. Well, it's going to be a run. It's going to get stuffed for 2 yards, and we're going to punt. It's like, just can we stop doing that, whether you're a good team or not a good team? Who, Ohio State, Texas A&M, one of the 2 of the 3 undefeateds left in the sport. I know Ohio State won the national championship. Of those 2, A&M and Ohio State, which one impresses you more?
Oh, absolutely, Ohio State. I think Ohio State is far and away the best team in all of college football. And that Texas win is starting to look better again. For a while there, they were discrediting, saying, all right, now I don't really know if Ohio State has a good win. Well, Texas is now inside the top 10 again. So I think you look at that, and that was still a gritty win in, week 1 when no one really knew anything about this young college football season. But you just watch this. Ohio State defense is the best defense in America. And then you have Julian Fain, who I think is better than Fernando Mendoza. I think Julian Fain is the best quarterback in football, only, 9 games into his college football starting career. And so I see that, and I have to say, you got 2 first-round wide receivers in Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith. I don't know how you slow down this Ohio State team when you're just playing a defense at that high of a level. Now I will say, I mean, A&M has, really reloaded at the wide receiver position in the portal. I think Reed is a great talent. Watched a lot of their tape against Notre Dame and a couple of those other teams, and Elko just keeps finding a way to win. His defense, that he really took over the reins, Elko did. Texas A&M's defense last year was not playing very well. This offseason, Elko says, I'm taking this over. I'm going to be the play caller. And, I mean, some of these blitzes and coverages that he's dialing up are just causing issues. I mean, Eli Drinkowitz was asked about it after their game. And it was like he had nothing to say. He was like, yeah, they took it. Their defense took it to us. So, I mean, Elko has that well-oiled machine going. But I still got to give the nod to Ohio State. I think they're the best team in America, and I don't know how you slow them down. I will say the one thing that they aren't doing great right now is running the football. They are struggling with that a little bit. If they can figure out how to run a little bit more efficiently, I don't know. I don't know how any team can go out on the football field and expect to stop that offense.
Yeah, last one for you, Landon. I'm just curious. You mentioned the Penn State stuff. It feels like ages ago that they fired James Franklin, and that was the biggest opening in the country, and now half the country has fired their coaches, and we've kind of forgotten. Oh, that's right. Penn State still needs a new head coach. I'm just curious, the latest on that, what you're hearing and what you're hoping in that coaching search that's leaving a big void there in the top of the Big Ten power rankings.
Yeah, it's wide open. Everybody I've talked to here around Penn State, we really still do not have a clue. It seems like Penn State's athletic director, Pat Kraft, is kind of in wait-and-see mode. Who's going to get knocked out of the playoffs? And you're just going to have to wait till really probably that week of the last regular season game. And it's probably not going to be named the head coach of Penn State till November 30th, which is the Sunday after the last regular season game. And the big problem with that really is National Signing Day has continued to move up. Back in the day, everybody signed in February. You start doing early National Signing Day in 2017, 2018, and it was kind of taboo to do at the beginning, and now everybody started doing it. 2021, when I signed, everybody was doing National Signing Day, and it was still December 17th, 18th. They've moved it up to December 3rd now. So it's going to be crazy, and I think you're going to continue to see more people kind of have to sign on December 3rd, and you're going to see more of the Julian Sand situations where someone is at, you know, it was different because Saban left Alabama, but Sand went to Alabama for 10 days and transferred to Ohio State. I think we're going to continue to see more of that because these high school football players are being forced to sign 3 days after the college football regular season ends. And there's going to be, especially this year, tons of coaching movement, and teams might not have their coaches set by December 3rd. So it's going to be really interesting to watch. Penn State does not have one singular guy that's in the lead right now. It is completely all over the place. And some would say, I think it was still time to move on from James Franklin, but it was not a good time to need to move on from James Franklin.
Wild stuff, man. Landon Tangwall, go check out his show on YouTube. Awesome film studies and breakdowns of game tape. And if you're a Big Ten football fan or just a college football fan, man, it's a must follow, a must watch. It's been great for me all year to keep an eye on different teams in the Big Ten that I can't watch as often, or Oregon opponents that I'm curious, what are they bringing to the table? Great stuff at Landon Tangwall on Twitter. Go give him a follow. And again, check out the YouTube show. Give him a subscription there on YouTube as well. Landon, we always appreciate the time, man. I know it was a tough weekend for you, but a big weekend out here for Oregon. We appreciate the breakdown, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Thanks so much, guys.
There you go. Landon Tangwall talking some Big Ten football and what he sees. Yeah, the Penn State stuff is wild. The early signing day is going to change things a little bit on how quickly you can turn things around with that next recruiting class. It's not easy to do, but it feels like a year ago that they fired James Franklin now.
Well, and also, like, he says he thinks they make an announcement November 30th. If they hire a coach on a current team,
yeah,
you're going to steal. You're not going to get that announcement.
No. Are you going to go coordinator? Does the coordinator announce that? Because Lanning was announced, right, and then coached the rest of the year at Georgia, so you could get the coordinator that keeps coaching.
One, sure, yeah.
Depending on if their team is still playing or going to a college football playoff, or maybe you're getting a coordinator that's not in that spot. Mm-hmm. It makes it really difficult, the timing of it. I think he's spot on. That's a real challenge.
I'm fascinated with all these hires.
Who they're going to go get.
I am so interested to see where they're going to go.
Tend to agree with you. Big stuff out of the Big Ten. Let's kind of put a bow on the college football weekend. We've talked a lot of college football. Dive into some other NFL stuff after this as well. The Seahawks still look like a wagon. What was that, Buffalo? What are we doing? Some NFL notes to get to. The Blazers play this weekend. We'll see if we can carve out some time for that in a great game on Monday Night Football. But some final college football thoughts next on 105.1 FM The Fam. All right, welcome back in. 8:40 on your Monday morning. Got some family in town from Philly hanging out, checking out the show.
Always nice to meet very nice Philadelphians who are also kind of braggadocious and
how
good their team is.
How could you not be? They just won the Super Bowl. He wanted a full Philly breakdown in this segment. What do the Phillies need to do in the offseason? And I said, well, I got some bad news for you. My co-host probably hates the Phillies more than he hates any other baseball team.
Yeah, they're right up there with the Mets, but we've owned the Mets, so I probably hate the Phillies a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing about Philly.
I'm jealous of Philly. It's the main reason why I hate Philly. I'm jealous of them.
I mean, they have the Flyers and the Sixers, which have been a joke, but, like, their football team is amazing. They might win again tonight on Monday Night Football. Very nice, your relatives. I kind of needed an accent.
You needed a little bit more Philly?
I was
Philly.
A little disappointed.
Well, neither of them are from Philly originally. They moved there 50 years ago, but they were both. My uncle went to UW. He's a Husky.
No kidding.
I got a Husky in my family. I know. I'm not proud of it.
Bandwagon Philadelphia fans,
they moved
huh?
out there, and they became diehard Philly fans over the years, you know? Yeah. You go for a long time. It happens. Always fun to have some family in town, though, checking out
so
the show.
So that's your aunt and uncle?
They're not aunt and uncles. I just call them my aunt and uncle. It's one of those situations.
Oh, like old friends?
No, technically, he is my mom's cousin.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean to me?
That's an uncle.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an uncle.
I don't know what the right terminology is, but that's what they
are. Yeah, it's one of those
first cousin twice removed or second cousin once removed. It's one of those.
Your parents' cousins become your aunt or your uncle,
especially if you're
your
close
life.
With them. If you're around them, it's an aunt and uncle.
Yeah, but technically still a cousin.
Yeah, well, which is confusing.
Yeah, okay. When you have friends, well, you have friends. When your friends are around, like Teddy Ballgame,
sure.
Are you the kind of guy that says uncle fill in the blank?
We do a little bit of that, yeah.
So everybody's kind friends, of an uncle?
Yeah,
Uncle Sprague.
Uncle Sprague. Yeah, there's some of that for sure.
That'd be weird.
You want to be my uncle? Wait,
uncle
no.
Sprague.
You want to be Teddy's uncle? Not my uncle.
I don't
want to
be your uncle.
You want to be my uncle?
I can't do that. I'm already your dad.
You're older than me. You're 3 years older than me. You could be an uncle.
I am, yeah.
You want to do that?
No. Yeah.
What do we make of the Gusgasm? How about Omar Cooper's catch? Is that the greatest catch you've ever seen?
No.
I know that's reactionary. But
it is one of the greatest college football catches I've ever seen. It's probably the best footwork I've ever seen. That was, and I don't think that was like pure coincidence luck. Cooper, I think, legitimately could feel that his foot would be out and kept it from hitting the ground and did just enough to get the other toe down.
How about the official for getting it right?
They got it right. Yes.
That's very fair.
That's a great point. We criticize a lot when missed calls.
On officials, that guy nailed it. He was staring at his feet the entire time.
Yeah.
Saw his foot come down. Then he looked to the receiver to make sure he kept control of the football when he hit the ground. And he got it right.
And that, by the way, Gusgasm, good. Clatgasm. I mean, he was more gasmic than Gus was.
There was a lot of that.
He was, oh my God!
Now, did we like that? Because we have differing opinions, right? Swag's not the biggest Joe Tessitore guy. I think everybody, for Gus Johnson, you can get a little, you know, you like to point out a first down run that sounds like a touchdown and it ends up being a 2 yard run and it's second and
that's
eight.
That's my only criticism.
To the corner! Out of bounds, second and eight. Right, there's a little bit of that. But there is something about him in a big moment calling that.
Oh, it's fun.
That it feels very human nature of like, that's exactly how I'm reacting. Like, oh my God! Like, I'm yelling at did he catch that? Did that toe get down? Here's how it sounded. Don Fisher's become a friend of the program.
Yeah.
Because Oregon and we've had Indiana's voice on for a couple times. Here's how the call sounded on Indiana radio.
Mendoza in the backfield. Back to throw. Pressure comes again. Throws it to the end zone. And a catch is made. Is it a touchdown?
Not great quite a gasm. Call. It wasn't a Don Fisher. That was more of a professional call.
That was a good call.
That was not a fish gasm, which I'm okay with. He's the radio play-by-play guy, and you got to do a little more descripting when you're not watching on TV.
I was going to say, doesn't the TV radio medium difference make a difference there? Like, he can't, and
for
I bet
sure
he
does.
Went on to explain how close the toe was as he waited for the replay and all that, but
yeah.
That's a great call. I also agree with what you said there. I'm joking about Klatt, but also kind of serious. I think it moved.
I think it did, yeah.
And I think he was feeling...
Because it was just like, I can't believe they did that. I was just in shock because Landon just talked about it. They took a sack on the opening play of that drive.
Yes.
And the clock's running and you got to get everybody back on the ball. And it's just like, here... And then all of a sudden, they're in the back of the end zone. An unbelievable throw.
I was in my living room alone watching this game and watching the replay of the foot being maybe an inch above the grass while the other foot got down. I was out loud, oh my God! And so Klatt is, I think, properly reacting because that was one of the most athletic, greatest footwork in college football history on a catch we've ever seen.
This was us in our respective houses watching that game.
Well, we also thought they were going to get got.
We did.
I thought Indiana was going lose. Down. I
didn't know who to root for in that
game.
Situation. I'm like, does this make the win over Penn State look better, but then the loss against Indiana's not as good?
I was very conflicted. I wanted Indiana
to lose.
You
wanted Indiana to taste their own blood?
I like the Indiana story. I think Cignetti's great. I love the chaos of college football, and I love that even when teams are down and out.
You never know.
Dude, there's so much talent on these rosters. These are not all Sam Houston's.
No.
Well. These are not all Oregon States.
I see what you did.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, that team still has one of the best edge rushers in college football. He's
Dennis
still playing.
Dennis Sutton is still out there.
The running backs are still going to get drafted in the top three rounds. Like,
yes, they are.
That's still a talented team. They just, you know, it's all hit the skids since Oregon beat them. So, I love the chaos. And I wanted A&M to get got by Missouri, even though I'm not a Drinkwitz guy.
Sure.
But I love it. And that just remarkable. And look, Mendoza... That was more of a throwaway desperation heave than it was precision. And I know he's going to get elevated, if not the front runner of the Heisman. that is a better catch than throw. And we sometimes need to start acknowledging on broadcasts, okay, he gave his guy a chance.
But the catch is what, yeah.
Sensational.
Even the play before that on the sideline, the catch along the sideline
by
to
Becker?
Set that up. That,
yeah,
that Charlie was Becker? Insane to get that foot down.
He basically threw a jump ball and he just still caught it.
Miracle.
Got his foot down and slammed his back on the ground. Sometimes we need to acknowledge the catch better than the throw.
The Big Nooner delivered. What a game. Indiana survives Penn State. A couple of more final college football thoughts we can get to later on in the show. I want to get back into some NFL stuff because it was a great weekend in the NFL. And we're back after this on 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
All right, we'll get to some big takeaways out of the NFL coming up top of the hour. Also, did we see the death of a conference this weekend? Rough weekend for one conference. That is all still to come, and some gambling news if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, how about Class A and Ortiz?
Throwing your lives away for $12,000.
Well, did you see the follow-up on the indictment? Pajes, the World Series catching
hero, the center fielder. He cost him money because he swung at a pitch that was 3 feet below the zone.
He cost him $100,000 making slight contact with an obvious pitch, according to the indictment, that was supposed to basically cash him in.
He was throwing an automatic ball, and they were all cashing in on it, and Pajes was so bad in that game that he swung at the pitch anyways. He swung at it. It was in the dirt.
Who thinks in that moment that foul tip ball has any financial impact? And there you go. We find out. Now there's $100,000 on that one.
You're just thinking, like, what are you doing, dude? Why are you swinging at that? So all that's still to come in the final hour. Not a lot of time on this game because I don't think anybody was really surprised. It was just they didn't lay an egg, so they did exactly what we asked them to do. And it was emphatic. 38-7 was your halftime score. 38-7. Their quarterback only had to throw the ball 12 times. And it was a 44-22 win as Seattle continues to look like a wagon. They didn't need to do anything in the second half. Two defensive touchdowns in the first half of that game.
Both
going to the same player. Like, how often does that? I was thinking, who was the guy in Minnesota that did that against
Rogers.
Cincinnati? Rogers.
Isaiah Rogers.
Had just like one of those all-time moments where the ball's bouncing your way and you're scoring tutties left and right. It was a dominant win, 7-2, and it is setting up a absolute showdown. Now, is that game in L.A. or in Seattle?
I believe it's in Seattle.
I thought it was in L.A.
Is it in L.A.?
Let
me
check.
Okay.
Let me check.
It's a massive, I mean, it's that and the Broncos.
It is in L.A.
Game. There you go.
In L.A., 1 o'clock on Fox next weekend. Seahawks and Rams go at it.
Rams are 2.5-point favorites.
Ooh, Seattle very good on the road.
And I'll tell you right now.
Spraying the line.
6-point favorite against the Cardinals felt like easy money. And then
that was cash 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
That's a regional game. That is not the national Fox.
What's the national game? Where they send in Brady.
What's better than that game?
It is Chiefs Broncos.
On so Fox.
CBS has the 1 o'clock national doubleheader. So Fox has the regional games.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to watching it. Those two games are the biggest games of the weekend for me. I want to see the Broncos are going to get tested. Not that they haven't.
They've beaten
Philly.
They
got some nice wins.
And who?
Lions Eagles is the Sunday night
game. Ooh.
That's tasty. We'll see what the Eagles do tonight.
We got a good NFL weekend.
I would argue we've had a good couple weekends.
This weekend, the afternoon slate, like Niners and Rams ended up being lopsided. That was the one game that you kind of thought, all right,
cut it to the one
here.
Touchdown. But
yeah.
You didn't really feel confident the Niner defense was going to stop what Stafford was doing.
At all the entire game.
And then you have Bucks at Bills and the 10 a.m. window.
Oh.
Now, I have to keep an eye on.
I'm curious.
Did Adams come back? Because he tweaked his back in the second half of that
Niner
game.
I did not see that. I do not know the answer to that question.
So that's something to keep in mind. Nakua was great. He torched the Niner defense. The tight ends were stellar, and Stafford's in a real zone right now, and they're running the football with their personnel packages. The way Seattle is playing right now, it's not that you beat Arizona, but we said this Friday, like, I took them in part because there's something about their home record. It's not been kind. I knew they were able to beat a team like the Saints. Arizona's a little better than the Saints, and with Brissett offensively, they had been better.
Yeah.
To get that kind of start and to kind of, you know, put to bed any doubt at the beginning like that.
They were a millisecond away. To be fair to Arizona, they were a millisecond away from those two touchdowns being incomplete passes. Like, the ball is literally knocked out at the last moment that it could be knocked out before the hand starts going forward. And then if it's knocked out, it's an incomplete pass.
But I think we talked about NFL MVPs early in the 6 a.m. hour. Man, what JSN is doing right now.
Yep.
I mean, good luck picking offensive player of the year because we know the MVP is going to end up being a quarterback. That's what the award basically is. So Jonathan Taylor for almost 2,000 yards and JSN maybe breaking the receiving yards record.
Another 93 yards and a touchdown.
Good luck NFL voters sorting out that because both the Colts and Seahawks have been great stories this year. Seattle right now, just from a confidence factor going in, I cannot wait for this. Seattle and the Rams have had some battle weight tests the last couple years. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Seattle's going to do. As you mentioned with the road record, they're really stinking good. And that defense, I think it was Lawrence in the postgame, was basically like, we trust everything Mike McDonald's telling us.
They're looking like a wagon,
man. Their confidence is flying. They're pretty healthy right now. And, oh, by the way, the offense it's on a real roll. So that might be the game of the weekend. All respect to the Broncos and Chiefs, which I'm looking forward to, and the Eagles and Lions. That's going to be a great tilt. That Seahawk-Ram game, to me, is probably the game of the weekend.
Something about the way both offenses are playing, too. Like, it should be a really aesthetically pleasing game. Dome, turf, like, environment's perfect.
If you're a Seattle
offenses
fan,
are cooking right now.
Why aren't you going to that game?
Like, that seems like perfect. A 45-4. And I know both defenses have the ability to play well, but each offense kind of looks unstoppable. Seattle, by the way, in this game, I mentioned Darnold only threw the ball 12 times. That's all they needed. They were up 38-7 at halftime. They ran the ball for 198 yards on Arizona. So, it was just, hey, we're going to run the ball a ton in the second half. They did it. Charbonnet was great. Walker was good, and you even saw Rashid Shaheed get a couple of carries too.
Darnold is just something to keep in mind. Darnold's having a stellar season, and this is where I wonder in these games. One, the whole do you trust Sam Darnold stuff is still going to be a thing until it's not, and two, is out of, you know, as away as that game was put at this point. He still had, like, two stupid turnovers.
Yeah, he'll do. I mean, yeah.
He still continues to have these, like, you threw a ball off your own guy's helmet that led to a pick.
I know.
So, like, I had the game on watching it, and I knew it was over. But, like, he still has the Houston game. You think of the fumble in the end zone. Just try to cut that.
What are you doing there?
Against the Rams, those are the turnovers that cost you the games.
No doubt about it. Let's stick in the NFL. We got some fun with audio in the final hour. How about one team finding their groove again, and they had a change of who was calling plays. We'll talk about them. What the hell was that, Buffalo? What are we doing? 30-13 I know some late touchdowns. What are we doing, dude? That was embarrassing. What are the biggest takeaways from the NFL weekend? We got a lot to get to in the final hour. We'll stick in the NFL next on 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them. Break.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last, so don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.